podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
Well, welcome, Bridgeway and guests. Again, it is good just to be together today. Well, as Justin said, we are in the series Not Today. And before I kind of tip my hand all the way there, I want to spotlight something else that I saw and I noticed this morning. I don't know if you noticed this or if you know them, but we had two groups of family up on the stage today. We had a husband and wife, and we had a father and daughter. And then actually our greeters as well, I noticed a couple families serving there together. And then over in our hospitality, we have families that are serving together here, and I think that is awesome. You get to serve together and do it together. So thank you for being an example to me, an example to us by doing that today. Can we just give them another round of applause? Absolutely. Well, like I said, we're in Not Today, and we are talking about laziness today. And the Bible in different places calls it sloth. Now, I don't know if you have seen any sloths recently or not, but I'm going to go that you haven't, so we're going to watch a short video about sloths and the Secretary of State. See if you can figure out what it is.
Well, I was hoping you could run a plate for us. We are in a really big hurry.
What's the plate?
29T...
Number.
29THD03.
29T...
HD03.
H?
D03.
D.
Mm-hmm. 03.
03.
Hey, Flash, want to hear a joke?
No!
Sure.
Okay. What do you call a three-humped camel?
I don't know.
Pregnant.
Yes, very funny, very funny. Can we please just focus on the task?
Hey.
Wait.
Priscilla.
Oh, no!
Yes? Flash?
What do
no.
you call
a three-humped camel pregnant? Okay, great, we got it. Please jump.
Humped.
All right, well, thank you for laughing with me as I laugh with Zootopia a little bit. This is a sloth, and that's what we're talking about today, is a lifestyle of sloth, and that's why I wanted to show you that. So let me talk for a second a little bit more clearly about what we're not talking about and get those out of the way. We are not talking about conditions today that would make you more tired or not able to move, like hypothyroidism. We're also not talking about if you didn't sleep and you actually just need to sleep. Okay, we're in the last one. We're not talking about some emotional states like depression, because these things all need to be handled a little bit differently than how we would necessarily talk about laziness. So as we've moved those things out of the way, let's go ahead and jump right in then to our verse. We're going to be in Matthew 25. If you want to pull your Bible out, it's on page 806. That's the Bible I've got up here too. You can pull that one out, pull it up on your device, or if you prefer, you can just follow along on the screen in front of you. And as you do, I'm going to give you just a quick glimpse of this story that we're going to read today. This is a story, a parable from Jesus about three men who were given bags of gold, and we're going to see what they did with it. They were entrusted with it, and now we see what they did with their money. All right, so let's jump in. Verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. Called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So we see 2 different ways of taking the money here and what they did with it. And that's what we wanted to see here. 2 guys took it, they invested it in whatever way they did. And then the third guy went and hid it, All right, let's keep on going. Verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. All right, pause. So I want to notice something here. He comes right at it, all right? So the master comes, or he goes to the master, and he just says, right, what happened, okay? You gave me 5 bags of gold, and I doubled it. Here you go. No beating around the bush. He's confident. He knows what he's done, and he's proud to bring it. So let's see what the master says here, verse 21. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but that's what I hope my boss says to me. I also hope my wife says that to me. Maybe those are the same thing. You can decide. And at the end, when I get to see Jesus face to face at the end of my life, I hope that he says that to me. Well done, good and faithful servant. At the end here, right at the last part of this verse, it says, come and share in your master's happiness. This is what we're all invited into. God is inviting us into his happiness. What is that going to be? There's a whole chunk of verses that we can talk about, but I'm just going to give you a quick picture. This is a banquet. This is you being in the presence of God and who he is and his love. We get to be there with him and enjoy him. And that's what he's inviting us to. Come and share in your master's happiness. That's awesome, and that's what I hope. The second guy, actually, if you look in the next 2 verses, the second guy gets the same response. He takes his money, invested it, remember, and then the master responds the same way. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now let's look at the third guy, verse 24. Then the master who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, went out, and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. All right, so this is where we remember what the first guy said. He was direct. This guy, you look in verse 24, he says zero about the gold. He's kind of beating around the bush. He's kind of fluffing him up and trying to prepare his excuse or his hope that the master will be happy with him. And he tips his hand here, verse 25. I think we can kind of skip this and just focus on what we hear later. But he says, so I was afraid, and I hid the gold in the ground. He was afraid. Now, before we get too hard on him, I think we need to understand what really is going on here. So the bag of gold, we don't know exactly how much it would have been, but they estimate it probably would have been about 20 years of a day laborer's wage at that time. So I looked it up. In 2018, the average wage in the United States was $49,500 and something. I'm going to round that up because I'm not very good with math. So we'll go to 50,000. We'll say 50,000 times 20 years. Anybody a math major in here? 50,000 times 20 is $1 million. Are you kidding me? Now, this guy, too, you got to understand where he's coming from, okay? These are servants. This is not somebody who's a ruler of a nation that is used to handling large amounts of wealth necessarily. So when he gets $1 million, it stops him in his shoes. If somebody were to come to me today, one of you were to come up here today and say, hey, Mike, you know what? I've got $1 million. I need you to take it. Hold on to it, and if you could actually, you know, maybe grow it or do something with it, but I'm going to need it back when I come. I'm going to go on a trip, and I'm going to need it back when I come back. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if that $1 million, by the way, is there a $1 million bill? Is that a thing? I don't know how you would get. But anyways, you get $1 million. I don't know if I'm going to make it out to my car with that $1 million because I am so afraid of what might happen to it, right? Like, what if I drop that sucker? Or what if somebody else hears, oh, hey, Mike just got the $1 million bill. I mean, that sucker can take off with somebody super easy. I'm probably going from here to that little spot right there. I kind of eyed it out earlier. I'm going to tuck it right back in there. And then later I'll try and bury it really well. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I can't say that I wouldn't be tempted to just hide it. That is a lot of responsibility. $1 million lands on you. And or $5 million if you think of the other guy. And this is a heavy responsibility. So when he says he's afraid, I kind of get that. I'm kind of afraid when I think about it too. But I want you to see something here, because this fear is normal, and I think fear even in this instance is a normal response. But I think the fear went a little bit too far. The fear for him was crippling. It's controlling. And it doesn't say it in this story, but something I've noticed about fear as well is that it's contagious. If you're around somebody else who is afraid, it's hard to not feel a little afraid yourself. And this man, as you can see here, it wasn't like he just hit it in the ground and then thought better the next day. He was like, oh, well, that wasn't a good idea. I'm going to dig it up and go do something. No, he left it there for a long time. It controlled his choice. It crippled him from being able to really do what he could have done with it. So I think what I want to talk about right now is just a fear for you. What fears do you have? And I'm not talking about a fear of a spider or something like that. I'm talking a little bit deeper. What fears do you have in your life? Is it a fear of pain, of being hurt? Is it a fear of failure? Is it a fear of people? Or maybe something else? This guy clearly, I think, is fear of failure and a fear of people. And he lets this consume him. Now, I think it's, I think in our society, maybe you fit in this boat too, but I think sometimes we raise, or maybe you've been raised to be perfect. You can't make a mistake. I know I've struggled with and do struggle with this from time to time, being a perfectionist. Now, the flip side of that is I'm actually living as a perfectionist because I'm afraid of failing. And this fear, again, I think it controls us. And I think it it sets you into a way that it sets you up for a different end. So my question for you right now is, are you living out of fear? Are you living out of fear? If you're thinking about it right now and you're like, yeah, I kind of am. From time to time, I am living out of fear. That's okay. That's a good thing. You're realizing it, right? And the other good thing is that our God is a huge God that wants you to tell him that. Bring it to him. Bring your fear to God. He is way bigger than your fears. He wants it. Give it to him. Release it to him. And just ask him to enter in with you and to be your confidence. Let's keep on going. We're going to go to verse 26. It's coming to a head here. The two others have already received their responses, and they were great responses, what we want. Let's see what the master says here to the third servant. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." Okay, that's not the one I wanted, right? And I want to focus especially on the word lazy. This isn't necessarily what you would have thought that maybe he would have said, but it is. I mean, he calls him a lazy person. I'm going to kind of swing over here because I got to grab something to help me a little bit. But when I think of lazy, I think of, I don't know if you do or not, but I think of a lazy river. So I'm going to show you a picture of one. I got to set this up nicely for myself. This is it's not actually a lazy river, but it is a river, and it is being lazy in it. But I'm not gonna lie. I think that today, like chilling in the water, sitting with your tube, it's good. Like that's okay, right? It's okay to do from time to time. I enjoy it. I enjoy the water. I enjoy my float. Obviously, I do because I brought one. But I think. Oh, actually, hang on. Let me just take a second here. I gotta get situated. Yeah. I figured out earlier that if I put my feet off the edge here, I can kind of bounce them. It's a little nicer on my knees, too. It took me a little bit to figure that out. But I think I've perfected it at this service, that this is the most comfortable position I can be in. Sorry, I should have maybe sent out something earlier this week that said, bring your inflatable chair or your tube today, and you all would have been so comfortable like me. Actually, can you guys do me a favor? Next week, I think that it would be awesome if we all went to the store this week, bought one of these, or something like it, and then come back, and next year we'll just clear the chairs out, and you guys can all sit in these for the service. I think our senior pastor, Ron, would love that. Okay, maybe not. Maybe we won't necessarily do that, but it's kind of a fun idea. This chair is super comfy, right? It is. You don't know because you're not sitting in it, but it is. It's super comfortable. I love it. I'm glad that I get to do this sermon because I get to sit in it. But I think this paints a picture for us, and I want us to think about it. Even this guy, he planted himself, right? He said, I'm going to dig a hole, I'm going to bury the money, and I'm going to sit myself in this spot. And I want you to picture him more like sitting in a chair like this. I'm going to go into a section here where I talk about why we choose laziness. So I think we do it for a number of reasons. I put a few up here, and this is not extensive because there are tons of reasons, I'm sure, for laziness. I think we do it because we're afraid we're going to fail, like this guy, right? And so he thinks this laziness is going to give him success, or at least he's not going to fail, which is success. Maybe it's you're tired and you're like, man, you know what? Being lazy is kind of restful. It feels good. Like I get to rest for a little while, and that's what I need. Or maybe it's pain, and you're like, man, you know what laziness is going to give me? It's going to give me some comfort, some much-needed, deserved comfort. Well, I think it's, again, when I think about these things, it's not the one time. It's something that kind of becomes a habit, and it grows into more. And I'm telling you the whys right now because I think it's sneaky. Some of you right now are like, yeah, I'm not really lazy. And I think that from time to time too. And I think it's because it sneaks up on us and we don't even know it. It's like this. Like, take your favorite streaming site. Maybe it's Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus, or maybe you're watching cable, or maybe you're old school and you've got the rabbit ear antennas on your TV and you're still doing that. I don't even know if that's possible anymore, but whatever you're choosing to do, maybe you're watching an episode, okay? You get caught into one of your episodes and you're like, oh, this is a nice episode. I love this. This is great. Whoever thought of this episode is fantastic. And you're like, you know what? I got to watch the next one. They left me hanging here. I mean, I got to know what happens. So you watch one more. And then one more becomes another. And another. And now it's 12 a.m. And you're like, I meant to be to bed 2 hours ago. And then the next night you're like, you know what? That was actually a really good show. I do need a little comfort. I'm going to watch it again. And then it becomes another. And another. And soon you're into a habit that you didn't even know you were getting into. It sneaks up on you, right? Or maybe for you, it's not that. Maybe it's you've got your phone, and you got your Facebook, you got your Instagram, your TikTok, and you're scrolling through the videos or the memes, and you're going, and you're like, oh, these are funny. That's not funny. This is terrible. I'm going to go to the next one. And now it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you remember, oh, I'm supposed to go to school or work, or I'm supposed to get back to work. Whatever that may be. Or maybe for you, it's at your work. And you found a way to cut the corner, to make it just a little easier on yourself, but it's actually not quite as good a quality. You're like, you justify it to yourself. You're like, they probably won't know. Nobody will see this. But now you've said it once, and the next time you come to that, you've got this facing you again. Am I going to go the easy route or not? And soon you choose it again, and it starts to become a habit. It sneaks up on us, and we don't even see it. So I want to think about this analogy of the river again here. Because in reality, when he's planted himself, when you've planted yourself, and you're just sitting there, kind of like I am. I've been sitting here for a while already. Some of you are like, dude, get out of the chair. But I think we need to picture it as more of like a river. Life is more of like a river. You are going in a direction. And when you plant yourself in laziness, you're thinking, this is going to give me success, so I'm actually moving forward. I'm at least not moving. I'm at least stopped where I am because I'm not going to fail. But I think we've missed it because the river is actually taking us somewhere. The river of laziness is taking us somewhere. I mean, if I was really sitting on this raft right now in the Rogue River behind us, which is actually where I thought about bringing us today, but I thought maybe you weren't going to be dressed appropriately, so I didn't. But if you think about it, the river would take us way, I'd probably be down by the Grand River right now, floating in my, maybe still in my raft, but it takes us somewhere else, and somewhere we may not have intended. And I think it takes us to these two things. I think it takes us to a loss of purpose. Because you're sitting in your raft, and you're no longer focusing on what you're hoping for or the purpose God has planned you for. But now you're thinking about myself, my comfort, my success, my pain, and that's becoming selfish. And when you become selfish with it, you've lost your purpose. And so it becomes this cycle. You lose a purpose, you become selfish. And that's where we naturally go if we're not being pricked and prodded by our friends, by our small group members, by our family. We do this cycle. Laziness takes us where we don't want to go. I want to jump into this verse, and I think it's going to set us up for the end here. I'm skipping down to verse 30. This is what is coming downstream for the man. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you're still in the river analogy. We are heading downstream. And I don't think we realize this sometimes. Laziness is setting us up for something terrible. Something terrible is downstream for us. And our God has given us the warning. I think he does it even in these verses, not to put guilt on you or on me, but to warn us about what's to come. The reality is if we choose to stay in this laziness, we are ultimately choosing to separate ourselves. You think about me flowing down. I'm choosing to separate myself from the purpose God has. And ultimately, when you do that, you're separating yourself from him. And when you do that, if you choose to stiff arm God, you choose to separate yourself from him, this is it. This is the end. That doesn't sound like somewhere I want to be. And that's what laziness wants you to think, right? It doesn't want you to see this picture. And that's why it's so important that it's in these verses, is that he's warning us. And I think just to paint the picture a little bit more, laziness, really the lies that it tells you is not going to give you what you want. It's not going to give you all the comfort, all the rest, all the success that we want. I mean, if you're honest with yourself, think about it for a moment, you're like, yeah, I actually do feel kind of terrible after I've been doing that. Or, yeah, you know, I've been sitting in that chair for a really long time, and I'm actually kind of getting a little sore. That's what happens when we take it too far. So this is what I want to invite us to, and I want to take you back to the picture of the river, me and the river and on the raft. I want to invite us to do something today, to do something to this laziness. And it's going to be simple but hard. So if I'm in the water, I wanted to actually set up a nice little river here, but I couldn't figure out how to get that much water in here. Also, I thought I would probably drop a microphone in it or something terrible like that would happen. Didn't want to do all that. So just imagine I'm floating in the river. If I want to step out of this raft, it's going to be wet. It's probably going to be cold and uncomfortable, and I'm going to have to do a little work for it. I'm going to have to get a little messy. But I invite you, It is actually really hard to get out of that raft. But to do it with me, to step up out of the raft, to step out of the raft of laziness, and to buy into the truth that God offers you. God has uniquely gifted each person here. He's gifted us all with the same big purpose. It's to glorify him. It's to lift his name, to make his name great. But he has gifted each of you uniquely. Now, I wish that I could come out here today and just tell you exactly what your gifting is and exactly what you should do with it. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's kind of the excitement, the fun of life, is that we know this truth is already there. God has already blessed you and already gifted you and already made you who he wants you to be. We just get to figure out how to do that out, how to work that out. God has this bag of money, so bring it back to the story, the bag of money that God has given these servants, he actually has given you as well. Your giftedness, your abilities, your time, your money. These are gifts from God. He has placed on you. And he wants you and he wants us to take it and to move with it. So I challenge us with this. Use your gifted self for him. Use it for him. Step out of the mess. Step into this hope, this excitement, this purpose, this goodness that God has given to you. If I could have the worship band come forward at this time, I'm going to show you another verse here. This is the verse I want to kind of end on, and I'll give you one more thought. This is out of Colossians 3:23. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters." Now, in this story, I specifically didn't tell you who the master was until now, but the master in the story is Jesus. And this is what we get to do. You guys get to do this. I get to do this. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do. There's no pressure of you must do this right now. No, it's pick something, work at it, and work as working for the Lord and not for human masters. We're not worried about what the people here or anybody else says. We're working for him. So whether you're directing employees or whether you're making sandwiches for little kids, whether you're scrubbing a toilet or whether it's at home in the evening and you are just being kind to your family, you're doing the kindness challenge. This work, I want to expand even here, this work is your whole life. It's not just a job. It's not just my 9 to 5 or my 6 to 6 or whatever it is your hours are. It's your whole life. God wants us to take what he has given us and to use it for him, for his purpose. So I've got 3 quick challenges for you. I want us to give up the lies of laziness. Give up believing it. Give to God your fears, the fears of whatever you have. Give them to God. He's there and his shoulders are big enough for it. And ask him, because sometimes it's hard, right? You saw me get up out of there, and I had a little bit of a struggle to get out of the chair. Sometimes it's hard to get out of those lazy moments and that lazy time. Ask God to help you to take one tiny step out of the mess and into your purpose. Would you bow with me? Let's pray. Father God, you are such a good, holy, and awesome God, and it is so good just to be here today to lift your name high, to praise you, to make your name great, because you are. God, I thank you that you have uniquely gifted each of us here, that you have put a passion in us and put an interest in us, and that you even let us work out what that's going to be. God, I pray today that you would help us to give up our fears, that we would hand them to you. Say, God, these fears, they are controlling, they are crippling, and I really don't want them to be contagious. Would you take them? And God, would you help us to take a step to honor you, to take a step to take hold of the purpose that you have given us. Help us to believe it. God, I pray that we would help each other in this. I pray that we would be a family, that we'd be in our small groups, in our homes, and our friends, that we would help each other, not let this stuff sneak up on us, but help us to take a step upriver towards you. God, we love you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.